Welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall, joined in Studio A by my good friend and theater critic for our program, Jay Wynn Russick. How you doing, Judy?
I'm fine, Tom.
So we're going to talk about Henry IV, part deux, as they say in Paris. The second part of Henry IV at the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company here in Baltimore. They did part one. They're doing part two. And there are a few days where they've done part one and part two together. So interesting. Henry IV, part two. We think of sequels as a Hollywood phenomenon, you know, Batman sequels and Star Wars and stuff. But actually, Shakespeare wrote a few of them.
He did. Some of his history plays could definitely be considered sequels, including this one. These two, I should say. Chesapeake Shakespeare has done the two in repertory, Henry IV, parts one and two, and these two parts are distinct, separate plays. Shakespeare may have written sequels because history was too long and perhaps too complicated in the plays he was writing. With Henry IV, it may be because part one was a big success, so he went on to write part two, not unlike Hollywood today. Although these two plays are called Henry IV, they are really about that king's son and heir, Prince Hal, who becomes Henry V at the end of part two. See what I mean about a little bit complicated? Chesapeake Shakespeare's final performance of part one was last weekend, so we're going to focus here on part two. The central theme of both parts one and two is the making of the true king and the traits and the characteristics that are needed for leadership. I brought a clip of Prince Hal after he becomes Henry V in part two. You'll hear him reassuring his brothers and the Lord Chief of Justice that he's given up his prodigal ways and has turned over a new leaf.
And princes all, believe me, I beseech you. My father is gone wild into his grave. For in his tomb lie my affections, and with his spirit sadly I survive. To mock the expectation of the world, to frustrate prophecies, and to raise out rotten opinion, who hath writ me down after my seeming.
It's Seamus Miller. He's a good actor. I saw him in all of part one. Linnell and I are going to part two tonight, but that's part of the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company production of Henry IV, part two. Seamus Miller plays Prince Hal after he's inherited the throne. You mentioned he becomes Henry V.
Yes, so, at the end of this part two.
So how are these two Henry IV plays divided? I mean, you're saying they're totally separate. So if you haven't seen part one, you can still see part two and be perfectly fine.
Yes, although you might want to brush up a little bit. It is a little bit complicated. They basically divide up this way. In part one, we see Prince Hal sowing his wild oats, and director Ian Gallinor plunges us into that from the start. He started with a wordless scene in a bawdy house. It began, as you remember, I'm sure, very vividly, with a prostitute waking up, getting out of what turned out to be Prince Hal's bed. She was hungover. She got into a fight with one of his cronies. So we saw immediately that Hal, Seamus Miller's character, was leading a dissolute life. But Hal's the son of a king, a self-made man. Henry IV usurped the throne from Richard II. Prince Hal is spoiled, he's privileged, he's the offspring of a rich, successful father, and he's spending a lot of time hanging out with his buddy Falstaff, who is a fat, hedonistic knight. Falstaff gives us comic relief in both plays. In part two, Prince Hal grows up. This is foreshadowed in part one, but in part two, he completely breaks his bond with Falstaff. It's the opposite of what Falstaff expects when he gets the good news that Prince Hal is now king. Here's a clip of Falstaff bragging to his pals. One of them is called Pistol, and there's a country justice named Shallow. And he's bragging about the favoritism that he expects to receive.
Come, Pistol, utter more to me, and withal devise something to do thyself good. Boot, boot, Master Shallow. I know the young king is sick for me. Let us take any man's horses. The laws of England are at my commandment. Blessed are they that have been my friends. And woe to the Lord Chief Justice.
That's Gregory Burgess. He plays Falstaff in Chesapeake Shakespeare's production of Henry IV, Part 2. So, Judy, Shakespeare is always challenging to perform. It just is. And sometimes it's challenging to hear it and to see it, too. It's tough. But here, a single cast did both plays. So this is, you know, on those days that they were doing part one in the afternoon, part two at night, boy, that's quite an achievement for an actor.
It is, and I went to one of those days, one of those marathon days. It's very challenging, and the same actors play the leads in both parts. Seamus Miller does a decent job playing the wastrel, but like Hal himself, he comes into his own when Hal finally matures. In the clip we heard first, and from then on, Seamus Miller plays the prince turned king as much more assured, finally an adult. Even his voice seems lower. He seems to speak more slowly. Falstaff is a larger-than-life character, so much so that he can take over the show if he's played too broadly. Gregory Burgess goes too far the other direction. His Falstaff is relatively understated. He's more sarcastic than bombastic. There's a scene when Hal and a buddy pose as tavern waiters so they can eavesdrop on Falstaff bad-mouthing Hal. Gregory Burgess underplayed this scene so much you almost missed the point. I should say part two is co-directed by Ian Gallagher and Gerard Alex Taylor. And part two has a bigger cast than part one. At Chesapeake Shakespeare, this means there's more doubling, even some tripling of roles. There are also more instances of women in men's roles, trouser roles, as they're called. And the supporting characters are more involved in the action in part two. And these characters just aren't as interesting, and the portrayals in some cases aren't quite as skillful. Basically, I found myself missing Prince Hal and Falstaff, understated though he may be, when they were off stage.
So, Henry IV, these plays, I mean, are they relevant today?
Well,
these are old plays about old guys.
Let me tell you, in Henry IV, Shakespeare is asking, what are the attributes of a just and honest leader? In Hal's case, this includes behavior he needs to stop and friends he needs to avoid after he becomes a leader. So I'm going to leave that for our listeners to decide, perhaps on a local as well as a national level. Actually, also, there was an op-ed in The Sun last week comparing President Trump to Falstaff with the distinction that Falstaff was never in a position of power and that Hal distanced himself from his dissolute friend. In addition to relevance, it's fairly rare to get a chance to see part two for a good part of the run. You could see them both. The day I attended, a couple came from Houston for the opportunity to see them both in one day. So Shakespeare fans especially might relish the chance to see part two.
Yeah, and think about the notion of just and honest leadership. Boy, it certainly is front of mind for all of us in Baltimore and in the United States. So I understand we got some news from Chesapeake Shakespeare. They've announced what they're going to be up to next year.
They actually have quite a bit of news. Yeah, they announced yesterday their 2019-2020 season. There are a lot of ghosts in this season. They announced six plays. Three of them have ghosts or haunting. Dracula, Hamlet, A Christmas Carol. They're also going to do Measure for Measure, which is a play that takes on added meaning in the Me Too era. They're going to do a comedy about Shakespeare's plays, the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, and they're going to end the season in the park with Much Ado About Nothing. But in
addition, because they do that thing every summer in Ellicott City in the outdoor
the ruins
area
of
there.
The Patapsco Female Institute.
And it's fun sometimes, and you follow them around to different spots.
That,
in the
they're
park.
Going to be doing that with the Scottish play very soon, actually, in this season with Macbeth. But there's other news out of Chesapeake Shakespeare. Last month, the National Endowment for the Arts announced a $50,000 contract for Chesapeake Shakespeare to teach acting skills at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center in Bethesda. And that's not all. The artistic director of Chesapeake Shakespeare, Ian Gallagher, was elected president of the International Shakespeare Theater Association earlier this year.
Yeah,
so,
congratulations to Ian. That's a big deal. Because that's an international network of people who do Shakespeare all over
that's
the world.
That's exactly what it is. So this is a happening place.
Yeah, it is indeed. All right. So Henry IV, Part 2, it's at the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company until Sunday, and we've got information about the tickets and stuff on our website, wypr.org/midday. So, Judy, next week we're going to talk about a thing from the Happenstance Theater, a play called Pantheon.
Yes, this is a new play that examines Greek mythology using a 1940s aesthetic.
There you go, Greek and 1940s. I'll take it. All right, looking forward to it. Thank you so much. We'll see you then.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, so that's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, it's Midday on Music. We'll talk about the challenges facing the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra with Fred Bronstein. He's the director of the Peabody Institute here in Baltimore. And Tim Smith, he's a former music critic at the Baltimore Sun. Plus, We'll talk about opera. Opera, it turns out, is alive and well right here in Charm City. James Harp of the Maryland Opera Company and the soprano Colleen Daly will have a preview of Puccini at the Pendry. And the composer Derek Wang will talk about his Supreme Court-inspired opera, Scalia Ginsburg. Both of those are happening this weekend. That's all coming up tomorrow on Midday. Lunch today was provided by Eddie's of Roland Park, celebrating 75 years as Baltimore's gourmet grocer. Eddie's is making surprise workplace lunch drops every week this year as part of their year-long 75th anniversary celebration. For details, visit eddiesofrolandpark.com/anniversary. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up next after the news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.